This morning, we have, we can do that. This morning, we have Kids Rock. If you want to go to Kids Rock this morning, now will be the time to see Miss Alicia over here in the sanctuary. Also, this morning, we have our brother Lee Powell coming to preach God's word to us this morning. He's a resident of Thomasville. He has been in ministry for 31 years so far, and Lord willing, we'll just keep on going. And he has been able to be a missionary here in the States as well as internationally, Romania, Hungary, Kenya. So he's seen a lot that others may not have seen firsthand. Here in the States, specifically in churches in Mississippi and Tennessee and here in Georgia. Like I said, he's from Thomasville, married with kids. I will keep this short. Please welcome Brother Lee Powell.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for letting me come here and be with you this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to always have almost all my families here, at least all the ones we could get out of jail this morning. And glad to have them here with me. Listen, whatever you heard about me, it's worse than that, okay? I'm the one that's trusting Jesus for everything. I don't have anything else but him. He's all that I have. I don't know about you, but sometimes I am bothered by the contradictions of life. Why is it that fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? Why is it that the bank ATM drive-through has Braille dots on it? Why is it that if you transport something with a car, it's called a shipment? But if you transport it with a boat, it's called cargo. And why, if that black box on an airplane is indestructible, that they don't go ahead and build the whole plane out of that? You know, one of the things you have to deal with in life are conflicts and contradictions and paradoxes. And this morning in John chapter 5, I want to read you a brief passage where Jesus draws some unbelievable contradictions for us to consider. The Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 5, and verse 1. The Bible begins by saying, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has a 5-roofed colonnades. And in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going down, another steps in before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up. Take your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning that you would reveal yourself to us. I pray that you, blessed Holy Spirit, would come down and translate to us. And Jesus, we ask that you would come in our midst. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, here in this passage, it starts off with some unbelievable contrast. The Bible, let me go ahead and deal with something right before we go any further. If you notice in the version I read, the English Standard Version, they omit verse 4. Verse 4, and I'm just going to give you the South Georgia paraphrase. It goes something like this. It said, they were waiting, for from season to season, an angel of the Lord would steer the water, and whoever got into the water was healed completely. As translators begin translating the Bible, they have tens of thousands of documents of the New Testament. And the oldest manuscripts they have do not have that verse in them. Now, when you read verse 7, it tells us that pretty much that story happened. The man said, listen, I don't have anybody to help me when the water stirred. And so whether it was just somebody had it or not, that's why it's like it is in that passage. I don't know if it was a myth. I don't know if it was a legend, but this man believed if he could get down in that water. And so we open up with unbelievable contradiction. Now, here's the story. Notice what it says in verse 1. It says, there was a feast of the Jews. Man, that I always like to feast, don't you? You can look at me and tell. I'm a professional when it comes to feast. Feast means, listen, there's going to be lots of people. There's going to be family and friends. Jesus is going to probably run into his mama and his brothers and all of his sisters when he gets to Jerusalem. There's going to be reunion. There's going to be laughing. There's going to be lots of wine passed around. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be singing. There's going to be merriment. And then they're going to start all over again. I mean, this is a Southern family reunion on steroids. They are having an unbelievable. There was three feasts they had to go to Jerusalem for: the Passover feast, the Pentecost feast, or the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know which one it was. It doesn't say. But the idea that there's a feast, there's going to be food, there's going to be fun, there's going to be merriment, there's going to be rejoicing, there's going to be reflection, there's going to be having a wonderful time together. Don't you always love it when life gives you a feast? And then the Bible says this. John says, listen, not only was there a feast, but he begins to paint a beautiful picture. He said, man, when you walked in Jerusalem, there was a pool there. Listen, man, the feast even got better. It's poolside. There they are. He says, there's a pool. And you can imagine, they've dug it up. The sun has scorched those limestone rocks solid white. Man, there's a sound of water trickling. There are blue skies. The Bible says there are five colonnades. You can think about tanning decks. I mean, there's a place to lay out in the sun. This is going to be a wonderful party. But then suddenly, we see a huge contradiction. Fun, feast, family, frivolous. But the Bible says, therein laid a multitude of invalids. Contorted bodies, missing limbs, broken human beings, open wounds, horrible smells. There's no music at this party. The only music is the shriek of pain, the scream of terror. Right in the middle of all that, listen, flies are dancing from open womb to gangrenous place to the mouths and eyes of these people. There's nobody reaching out to them with warmth. There's nobody giving them a meal. There's no friend for them in this situation. This is horror. The smell itself of bodily fluids and human excrement and everything else fills the air. Nobody wants to be a part of this. Nobody wants to look at all of this. And not only that, the Bible says this. If it isn't the biggest cosmic joke of all time, that the pools was called Bethesda, the house of mercy. The house of mercy looks more like a house of horrors. The pool looks more like a cesspool. And here they are in this place called the house of mercy, but there they are in suffering and bleeding and dying and begging and pleading for somebody to help them. You know what else is a contradiction? Here is this feast. And the feast is to honor a person. The feast is being held. to recognize somebody for all that they've done. And the very person that the feast is held for finds himself walking right through the midst of all these broken lives. Sometimes life gives us contradictions. The second thing I want you to see this morning is what I'm going to call the Christ. Listen, Jesus, the Bible says, headed up to Jerusalem. And there's four things that you can see clearly about Jesus in this passage. And the first one is this, what I'm going to call his purpose. Listen, Jesus didn't accidentally stumble by this pool that day. Jesus didn't accidentally wander up and go, hey, what's that over there? Jesus didn't get to town and say, hey, Peter, where can I find a good place to lay out in the sun today? Jesus knew exactly where he was going. He had a plan. He had a purpose. He had a direction that had been given to him by his heavenly Father. And Jesus knew exactly where he was going. He went straight to the house of mercy. And there he began to look. And the Bible says he cast his eyes upon a person. The Bible says there's a multitude of invalids. But Jesus looked at one man that day. He's only going to heal one man that day. Only one man's going to walk home whole that day. Jesus is going to heal that one man because Jesus had a plan. He had a purpose to be in that place at that time for that man. You know what you find out about Jesus? Not only does Jesus have a plan, but notice Jesus' perception. The Bible says this. When Jesus saw him, he knew that he had been there a long time. We find out that he'd been there for 38 years. Listen, in the ancient world, the first century, 30 was the average lifespan of a human being. This man possibly was born an invalid. His parents are long gone now. He hasn't a friend in the world. But when Jesus sees him, Jesus knows all about him. Most of us spend our entire lives trying to keep covered up, don't we? We are always thinking, I hope they don't find out about the real me. I hope they don't know. But Jesus sees you where you are. He knows what you're about. He knows what your deepest thoughts are. He knows how long you've been in the situation that you've been in. Jesus knows everything there is to know about it. He is before. He is the creator. He knows all things. Jesus has a plan. Jesus has perception. He sees where you are. But then I want you to know Jesus has passion. Jesus' heart went out to this man. You know, a lot of us, we sit back and we look at the contradictions of life. We go, man, it's pretty sad that those people are like that. I don't know why they were born like that. And I don't either. But Jesus, he goes to where they are. He goes to meet them. He don't just sit back and go, Father, why did it happen this way? Jesus goes to where they are because he loves them. Even in that broken state, even in twisted and deformed and malformed, he loves them just like that. And then the most obvious part of it, Jesus had got a plan, he's got perception, he's got a passion for you, but he's got power. Little did they know what was about to happen that day. The Creator God had just shown up. They've been doing business as usual in the house of mercy for years. For years, the Bible says. For 38 years, the man's been laying there in the house of mercy, hoping for something. And suddenly, on this day, at this time, at this moment, the God of all creation shows up. The God of all wonders shows up. And just one touch from Jesus, just one word from Jesus, the man doesn't have faith. The man doesn't have belief, but God can override all that. And Jesus says, get up and be healed. And the Bible says, immediately, at once, he jumped up. It wasn't any therapy. Suddenly, his limbs and arms and legs receive life, and they receive muscle tone. He jumps up and walks out of that place like a boss. You know, one touch for Jesus can do better than 10,000 sermons. One touch from Jesus could do better than a million revivals. And what we need more than anything this morning is not another song, not another sermon, not another meeting, not another fellowship, but we need a touch from Jesus, amen. We need the God of all wonders to touch our lives. We need God to make a difference in us. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. The Pool of Bethesda, that beautiful place called the House of Mercy. Here we are in one much like it. Well, look, the lights make it look just right. Cross, we got the air just right in here. You ain't too hot, you ain't too cold. And we've all come to the House of Mercy for something. And you know what part of the contradiction is? And I took a bath this morning. Believe it or not, I combed my hair. I put on some smell good so you wouldn't smell the real me. I got my best clothes out, cleaned them up, ironed them. Because I don't want you to know how broken I am. I don't want you to see how twisted I am. I don't want you to know the pain I feel. I don't want you to know I got spiritual flies crawling all over me. And we come here to the House of Mercy and we try to lie, act like everything closed, but deep down inside, you and I both know that the Bible says our righteousness is like dirty rags. We are broken and twisted. We're in relationships. We're trying to act like everything's okay. We've been to the counselors. We've been to the rehabs. We've been everywhere else trying to get some help, and we keep coming to the House of Mercy, and we're acting like, oh, everything's okay. I'm good. You're good. We're all good. Look at us. Don't we look so nice? And we're afraid, just like that man, we don't have anybody to get us into the pool. And we see the contradictions in our own life. We sing one thing, but we live a different way. We say we believe one thing, but we live like something different. And we know deep down inside there's an emptiness and a brokenness and a longingness that we all have. And what we're all praying for and hoping for and pleading for, whether we say it or not, is that Jesus of Nazareth would come to Eastside Baptist Church this morning and walk down this aisle and touch us and make us whole. Jesus reveals to us these contradictions. He shows us the Christ. But lastly, he asks the question, do you want to be healed? Do you know there's a lot of people that don't want to be healed? There's a lot of folks I know, they love being sick. Oh, Lord, you don't know what all I'm going through. I had to go to the doctor. They said, a lot of people like being sick. Man, a lot of them proud. I've had 57 surgeries. I'm going next week to have them do this. A lot of people like being sick because, listen, they would rather live with what they know than what they don't know. Jesus asked the man, he said, listen, if you look close, Jesus said, would you like to be well? And the man says, well, I don't have anybody here to put me in the water. Jesus didn't ask him that. Jesus wouldn't say, hey, let me help you get a little closer to the water, and next time it's something, you just roll over in it. Jesus wasn't saying, do you want me to help you get down in the water? Jesus said, do you want to get well? And you know what he did? He started blaming other people. Well, I could get everything right if my husband would just be right. I could really do it right if my wife would just be right. If my kids would do what they're supposed to do. If the teacher would do this for me, or the boss, or my co-workers. And then he says, when I'm about to step down in the water, somebody else steps in front of me. He blamed it on other people, then he blames it on himself. He said, I just can't do it fast enough. I've tried and tried and tried, but I never do make it. I'm weak. I don't have the strength. I don't have the self-discipline. I can't do it myself. And the reality is, there's some of you here sitting this morning, and I want to tell you the truth. I woke up this morning, and the Lord spoke to me this verse. Zephaniah 3:17, you probably had never even read it. But it says, I, the Lord, am in your midst, mighty to save. And I have good news for you. You've tried everything else. You've tried counseling. You've tried doctors. You've tried religion. You've been to First Church, Second Church, South Side, West Side, now you're at East Side. But Jesus is here this morning. And no matter what your problem is, no matter how long you had it, no matter how much it's entrenched in you, Jesus of Nazareth is here whispering to you and I, and he's asking us simply one question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to go home a different way? Are you tired of living the life of a beggar? Are you tired of living a life that is as an invalid? Are you tired of living covered in the way that you're covered? Do you want to be set free? As far as I can tell, Jesus would never come back to this pool. And the Bible says God doesn't always strive with man. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Believe it or not, it is not an accident nor a coincidence, but it's divine providence that I'm here right now, that you're here right now, and that Jesus is here right now. And there is a crossroads about to come together. And you're going to have to make a decision this morning how you want to move on from here. And Jesus says, do you want some of me? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want what I have for you? And you're going to have to answer that question. I went to see a guy a long time ago. My wife, I know she'll remember. We went to see this guy. And he said, I think I want to become a believer. And so we went to see him, and I began to talk to him. His name was Ralph, I believe. And I said, man, wouldn't you like to receive the Lord today? He said, no, not today, but I'm close. And I said, come on. I twist his arm every way you can twist the arm. I'm not saying it was right, but I did it. And I said, wouldn't you like to do it today? He said, no, not today. And I said, I asked him again. I talked to him a little bit longer. I asked him again. And finally, I was getting ready to leave. I said, I'll tell you what. If you would take Jesus today, reach out and take my right hand. But if you would take the devil today, reach out and take my... I put him in a bind, didn't I? You know what he did? He stuck both hands behind his back. He said, I ain't taking either one of them. And I smiled, and I said, whether you know it or not, you took one. Jesus asks you today, do you want to be healed? You want him to make a difference? He can do that for you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've joined here together today and thankful that you came to see us. God, that you're in this house. And God, you're not hindered by time or eternity. You're the same God that spoke this world into existence. You're the same God that touched that man at the pool of Bethesda. And here you are in Cairo, Georgia, Eastside Baptist Church, at this time and hour, walking through the house of mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And God, this morning, we can't fool you. You see who we really are. You know the depths of our brokenness and how disfigured we are and how filthy we are, yet you still come to us. You still work in our lives. You still love us with an everlasting love. God, I pray that even today, God, that there may be a man, a woman, boy, girl that knows they need a touch from you. And this morning they would say, touch me, Jesus. Heal me, Jesus. Make me whole, Jesus. And they would get up and walk home a different way. Let it be so this morning, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, we're getting ready to sing a song in just a minute. Something about that name. As we begin to sing, here's what I want to challenge you with. Today, listen, I don't need to know what your needs are in all your situations. God already knows, and he still loves you. But maybe today you need to come down and get on this altar and say, Lord, here I am. I want to be healed. Listen, I know you can do it in your seat. I know you can. But I also know that when you step out of an old altar and get down on an old altar, it kind of releases that pride. And everybody here says, oh, he's got a need. Truth of the matter, we all do. Maybe today you don't know the Lord. I sat in church for years. I was baptized for years. Didn't know the Lord. If that's you, Jesus said, listen, I want to heal you. He knows. You can fool me, you can fool somebody else, but you don't fool Jesus. Maybe you need to help a friend get to that pool this morning. Maybe you need to call somebody on the phone and say, listen, I want to help you get where you need to be. Whatever it is Jesus is doing in your life, I want us to stand together, and I want you to do it. If you want somebody to pray with you this morning, I'll be right here. I'd love to pray with you and ask Jesus to touch you so that you go home a different way. Would you stand with me this morning?
Let's sing together.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms may all pass away, but there's something about that name.
I'm going to ask you to just play through one more verse, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to pray for you this morning before we go. Maybe for some reason you just could not step out, but you say, Pastor, I know I need a touch from Jesus this morning. I need a fresh touch. I need God to do a breakthrough in my life. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One more question. You say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. I want to go. I hope I go. But I don't know for sure. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible says that if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, that He's God, He's King, He's a ruler of all things, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not on how you live, it's on how He lived. It's not on how you die, it's how He died. And it's not on whether you'll get up, it's that He got up again and He lives forevermore. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, you see these that are going through the struggle of life. Life has maimed them along the way. We're wrecked and ruined and broken. God, many times we can't even hear you speak because we're focused on our own situation so bad. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would reach down in spite, just like this man, in spite of himself, you reach down and you touch his life. God, do that this morning. Touch us, change us, mold us and make us a people for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Lee. I felt the power of God's word this morning, amen. And we serve that God. If you didn't make a decision and you still need to make that decision, grab me, Brother Robbie, Brother Lee, someone, a friend, before you leave. And let's get it right. Don't forget our announcements, as we mentioned earlier, especially our youth as they prepare to go to camps this summer. Pray for our youth. If you can give, please give. Thank you for giving to the church, giving to the Lord, as you always do. Let me pray for us as we are dismissed. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, your power, your almighty. Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, as we go our separate ways today, lead us, guide us, protect us, and bring us back again. In your name we pray. Amen.